Cometh the hour, cometh the mothership, that is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening, my friends. I be John Kenobi in for ship's captain George Norrie tonight. He said, report to the bridge, and so here I, and therefore we are. The mothership, not affected by sequestration, legislation, or even registration with the alien nation. No, just boundless power to propel us along the free waves of the local cosmos. Tonight is Friday night, of course, and typically we do an open line thing, which we will. Some of my favorite guests are you. But first, we'll be joined by Gerald Celente. He's come on the program several times. He's the founder and director of the Trends Research Institute, and today's number one trend analyst. He regularly provides businesses and industry with customized presentations and commissioned research studies in over 300 trend categories. And by all accounts, he's on fire, as am I. All this stuff going on in the world. A $20 billion project makes nuclear fusion breakthrough. These are some of the headlines. You can explore these for yourselves. It appears that Congress has managed to get together on at least one thing, and that is the Senate and the House have both decided to send a message up to the Oval Office and say, you know, this FAA furlough thing's got to stop. Sorry about just deciding to go ahead with the sequester, whatever that really means. I thought to sequester was to remove and make inaccessible. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. The money. $85 billion. Couch change for this country. I almost said company. But anyway, that we'll see what happens. Isn't it funny? Hardly anything happens on the weekends. We'll kill you on Monday. You know that thing? We will. Okay, on Monday. We'll get back into it. We're taking the weekend off. Okay, fine. It's kind of grim in Chicagoland. You know, there's a shooting there every 6 hours. A heroin epidemic is spreading throughout the suburbs. Not nice. Homeland, using 1,000 more rounds per person than the Army, denies ammunition purchases are aimed at civilians. A senator is introducing a bill limiting federal agencies from stockpiling. That would be U.S. Senator Jim Inhofe and Congressman Frank Lucas. Well, Inhofe says President Obama has been adamant about curbing law-abiding Americans' access and opportunities to exercise their Second Amendment rights. One way the administration is able to do this is by limiting what's available on the market, with federal agencies purchasing unnecessary stockpiles of ammunition. Now, a lot of people just aren't just flat not interested in that stuff. They think all guns should go away. And by the way, there's an interesting thing on Alex Jones's InfoWars about how people are ready to just get Nazi on you, you know, and just go door to door. Californians are actually signing a petition. Well, not all of them, but some Californians are signing a petition to go for door-to-door gun confiscation, add more police powers, etc. I mean, you know, it's just like, it's just beyond anything that people are so willing to go against every principle that the founders laid out in regard to securing this nation by securing your persons in safety. So for anyone who's confused about this, you're absolutely right. A 30-round magazine, unless you're a really bad shot, is not necessary to go hunting. But that AR-15 rifle, which, like the Tommy gun was back in the old days, which nobody wanted, by the way, and then everybody wanted it decades later, those things are not for hunting. Those are to defend you by your own hand against a tyrannical government. Speaking of the administration, they're not exactly doing handsprings, rushing to act on signs that Syria used chemical weapons. It's just one thing after another. Last week was such a such an outrageous week. Anybody smell anything funny? Yeah, me too. It's you got special ops guys that, or they look like special ops guys, but maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't understand why somebody would show up with a badge on them, a little patch indicating they're from SEALs or the craft or whomever, and touching their ears, which you're not supposed to do. So, you know, a black op is something that the government will totally disavow. It's one of those Mission Impossible deals. The secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. So, maybe it's just an op, but you got people that look like special ops guys. They have backpacks. They leave. They don't have a backpack. And then you have suspects that don't have a backpack, but they leave with a backpack. And oh boy, what a twist this is going to be. However, if it goes like Benghazi did, somebody will just shriek, "What difference does it make? We've just got to make sure this never happens again." End of story. And by the way, I'll go ahead and get out of the way so that there won't be any further questions. That's the way you do it, isn't it? Just deny, deny, deny. Anyway, one of my favorite little websites is this one called Full Spectrum Dominance. If you ever want to go see it, it's full with a dash, spectrum, then a dash, dominance, and a .com. And many, many stories in here of interest. Verizon's risk team, for example, in collaboration with other 18 partners, has issued 2013 data breach investigations report that investigates on a series of documented data breaches. Since 2008, the company yearly publishes data related to principal incidents occurring during the previous 12 months. But to cut a long story short, the study revealed, as you might guess, that the Chinese government is the most persistent collectors of sensitive information. They also own AMC Theaters, by the way, just so you know. Company secrets, intellectual property, continuous cyber espionage campaigns. It's ridiculous, and we just keep buying their stuff. U.S. drones will continue to fly in Afghanistan after the troop withdrawal. From the aviationist on FSD, the Broken Arrow incidents when U.S. B-52 bombers lost their nuclear weapons during the Cold War. That's a long time ago. Happily, none of them went off. At least not that we know of. Not by anybody who was close to some sort of a media pipeline to let us know. It's just all over the place. Now from LaRouche, here's something out of left field. The FBI should be investigating crime, not inventing it. Mercenary armies sometimes stand between a leader and his fate. Man convicted of hacking despite not hacking. That's from Wired magazine. It's absolutely amazing, all the stuff that's going on out there. A deadly paradox. Scientists discover the agent used in Gulf spill cleanup is actually destroying marine life. Record number of households on food stamps. One out of every five. Spanish unemployment rate at a record 27.16%. Switzerland limits EU immigration, invoking safeguard clause. And it goes on and on and on. Seriously. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, what's very interesting is this now, the latest twist is, you know, the contortion, latest political contortion is all this about immigration, which the universe's correspondent, who refuses to call them illegal aliens, called them undocumented immigrants. We're looking at an increase of 33 million. 33 million. Think about that. Spread out over the U.S. Now, as long as they have an outfit called La Raza, which means the race, I cannot hesitate to mention that if this thing goes through the way that it is planned to, at some point in the near future, you will have the same thing that Mexico had when the same party was in for 75 years. 75. That's a long time. Don't you think? Almost life expectancy. What is it, 78 now or something, maybe? And I think what our politicians and maybe the rest of us should think of is that once this happens, there won't be any European Americans in Congress, let alone any African Americans in Congress. You will have Mexico right up here north of the Rio Grande. And anyone who thinks that any other country on earth would tolerate this is sadly mistaken. Because a nation must preserve itself. Otherwise, what does it really have to bring to the world party if it's all just one big free-for-all? Now, when we did the dope show the other weekend, the question was raised, well, if we were to legalize just pot, for example, forget all the other drugs, that's crazy. Well, we should legalize, I got a couple of emails, well, we should legalize heroin. No, we should not. Legalize everything. No, too many morons, that could make problems. You know it, it's the George Carlin thing. Got a dope problem, too many dopes. But a really, really strong point that was raised during the conversation and by several listeners who sent emails was that, do you think there might be some retaliation on the politicians here if all of a sudden that market just disappeared? Well, you bet there would be. I mean, people will snuff you out over a cigarette. What do you think they'll do over several billion dollars? They'll just get rid of you. Anyway, we'll sprinkle some news items throughout the program, and not the least of which would be on the Coast to Coast AM homepage. You should always go by coasttocoastam.com. In the news, how Ray Kurzweil will help Google make the ultimate artificial intelligence brain. Clenching fists can improve memory. Man survives shooting self while cleaning spear gun. What was he trying to look down the bore or what? And scientists discuss invisible alien life on Earth. Oh, now that's just what we need. Hopefully they're friendly and beneficent and maybe even helpful. All right, let's take a little short break here and come back with our friend Gerald Celente and prepare to, as Wayne Grove said in the old mid-90s movie Heat, get it on. We have to get it on. All right. The Friday night soiree will proceed on the count of one. One. All right, Gerald Celente, come upon the bridge. Come most presently upon your hour, sir, and welcome back to Coast AM.
Well, thanks for having me back on, John D.
Listen, I'm on fire about this immigration thing. You want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, or should we use the short one?
Well, you know, I've been writing about this, actually, one of my books, Trend Tracking, back in 1988. And I was writing all about the H-1B visas and the big lie that they were making up, that there was a shortage of technical talent in the United States, and we had to bring them in from other countries. And then along the lines of the same thing, when you look at who's behind all the pro-immigration movements, it was the National Association of Manufacturers, companies like Microsoft and others later on. It's bringing in cheap help. I mean, it's the bottom line. And it's driven down wages, so it's a supply and demand issue. The more supply of people you have, the lower the demand of wages. And if anybody has any doubt about that, hey, take a trip over to Bangladesh. You know, look how disposable the people are. You know, they sent a couple of thousand back into a cracked building a couple of days ago, a building that started to show cracks in it. The bankers left, but the garment workers were forced back in. If they would leave, they'd be docked their pay, and of course they're poor to begin with. And the damn thing collapsed, and what? You know, 320 people died. A couple of several hundred more over the year and a half in fires. So it's just using up. It's a supply and demand issue. As I see it, so they're going to keep immigration a hot button issue. And as you well pointed out, and again, I'm a political atheist. I want to make this really clear. I don't believe
political atheist. Oh yeah, I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe in political religions. You know, and I certainly won't bow to a political god. I mean, when people start fighting over, you know, my political religion's the true political religion, you know, it's too much for me. So what I have to say is only because of the way I see it, not because I have a belief system into it. And so when you look at the last presidential election, and you can see where the money was spent and the moves that were made that helped Obama slide into office one more time. So that's how I feel about the immigration issue.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned Microsoft. I mean, I must have been freeze-dried for a while and just didn't realize how long I'd been frozen, that Rip Van Winkle thing. But apparently that network, MSNBC, is actually a joint venture between Microsoft and NBC. Is that really true?
Oh, yeah. I wrote about that years ago in the Trends Journal when it first happened. What did I call it? Microsoft. I called it more of the same NBC. And how it was supposed to be so revolutionary when it happened. I believe since then they've broken up maybe a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken. But yes, definitely, that's what it was.
This is the stuff of science fiction, Gerald. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you got this guy, this Bill Gates. He's got Microsoft Corporation. And now, you know, he's trying to vaccinate half the world. This guy, when you listen to the words that come out of his mouth, when he... You know, and he's got a bunch of people just nodding like, oh, it's Bill Gates. It must be good. Nodding like morons, just like we did. I was like an outcast because I thought, you know, a point of view is a pretty dangerous thing to just toss around to impressionable minds. They're all nodding like, oh, this is greatness. I mean, the guy's a billionaire. I mean, he must know what he's talking about. And I don't hear anything but sinister coming out of this little cat. I really don't.
Well, you talk about the vaccinating people around the world. I mean, who's his partner in that? And Warren Buffett. And again, because people have, it's like listening to Bloomberg because he has money. I mean, if this guy wasn't a multi-billionaire, do you think anybody would pay any attention to him when he comes out and says something to the effect that the Constitution has to be rethought? After
what is this, you know?
Incident?
My view of the world is this. You don't get to take the parts of the Constitution that you like and toss out the rest. You accept all of it or you accept none of it.
Well, not if you live in a fascist state, then you do what you want with it.
Well, yeah, I forgot that part.
By the way, and if any, again, you know, the definition of fascism is the merger of state and corporate powers. And, you know, people say they're criticizing what's going on in the economy. They're blaming it on capitalism run amok. This isn't capitalism. Four words killed capitalism. Too big to fail. Again, it's the merger of state and corporate powers. All of a sudden, we're bailing out banks. We're bailing out financial institutions. We're bailing out companies. So it's, again, you know, it's a small group. And you're talking about, you know, when Bill Gates speaks, everybody's supposed to listen because he has a lot of money. You know, it's the same thing when you look at Congress and the presidents. I mean, these are the same people you hated in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council. The brown noses, the suck-ups, the glad-handers, the overly ambitious, and the insincere. They follow their career path. And look at the way people, every time they show up, they roll out a red carpet. Who made this up? And they got a bunch of flunkies dressed up in their uniforms. You name the country, chancellors, prime ministers, presidents, and everybody's saluting. You know, so that's what it's turned into.
Yeah, the unbelievable disrespect that was shown to Margaret Thatcher by a particular group of people over there. It's like, I don't live there, but I do know that that England was broke. They were in bad shape over there, and she kind of put it on the unions over there. You know, unions were a very good idea when people were suffering just to have a job that paid less than chump change. It was just peanuts. I mean, it like the company store, you're about, oh, the company, oh, my soul to the company store. That's because they paid you nothing until the harvest was done. You would go to the company store to get what you needed, and they'd put it on credit. By the end of the season, you owed them money. Now, I can understand a union for that, to protect workers' rights, but when unions become political instruments, this is dangerous, because there's nothing that'll get somebody's attention like threatening their livelihood. Yes?
Well, one of my sayings is guy born in the Bronx, when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And I was listening to you reading some of the unemployment numbers coming out of Spain. It's at 27.2%, 57% youth unemployment. So it's going to get a lot worse, and so are people.
Yeah, it's bad over in Spain. They marched on the palace. Well, just within the last day or two, I'll find the story here. I've got so many screens up, not only externally but internally. Delighted to have you with us tonight. Let's take our little break here and then come back, and we'll see if we can light a fire. You know, the closer we get to the truth, the more distractions will be thrown up by those who don't want the truth revealed, and we'll just do it anyway. Why? Because we can. And we must. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, thank you very much. This is an interesting little headline. Man with Tourette syndrome denied flight after saying bomb. Oh, may he be blessed and may that affliction be removed from him. Oh, you can't fly. Why not? You said bomb. What? Bomb. Oh. All right, we'll be right back with Gerald Celente in just a moment. Go make yourself a proper cup of tea. You got 2 minutes to do it. That should be just enough to get the caffeine out of it before the tannin kicks in and mellows you out. Okay? Okay. This is Coast to Coast AM Semi. Gerald Celente, what do you make of this Boston bombing incident?
Well, a number of things. The first one is that it's a trend that we saw in place coming, and it was one of our top trends for 2012 in the Trends Journal, Battlefield America. Remember, this was written in actually December of 2011. Martial law in the USA, can it happen? It has happened. America has been decreed a war zone in which military rule can replace civilian rule. Imagine the United States of America, the land of the free, the land of liberty, has robbed its own citizens of the last vestiges of their democracy. On December 1st, 2011, the United States Senate voted 93-7 to pass into law the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2012. A law that effectively strips Americans of their Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights, guaranteeing them to due process, et cetera, and of course, we also go on to say how it repealed the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, which prohibited the military from performing police duties in the United States. So to me, what happened on Patriots Day, the day the American Revolution began, and Paul Revere, the Battle of Lexington and Concord later on, it was to me a very dark moment in America when I saw police going door to door on April 19th with warrantless house searches, closing down an entire city, 100 square miles, stop the trains from running, close down airspace. And they came out with this other thing, this line of, you know, having people being forced to stay in their homes, shelter in place. Whoever heard of this stuff? For a 19-year-old kid? And in doing so, to me, it was another analogy of when one kid loses his mind, we all suffer for it. Whether it was Columbine, whether it was Aurora, whether it was Adam Lanza in Connecticut, all of a sudden we lose our constitutional rights. And now they close down, as I said, an entire area, 100 square miles. And not for nothing, they didn't catch the kid. I mean, the only reason they got him is because after they lifted the shelter-in-place demands that people stay in their home, after that, the guy went outside, had a cigarette, saw the tarp from his boat was askew, saw some blood in there, looks and sees a kid laying there, calls the cops, and boom, now a whole other scene starts. So they didn't get the kid. And everybody lost their rights over it. And there's been no outrage. There's been no outrage in the media. The prostitutes, of course, you know, meet the prostitutes are never going to say anything about this. Everybody's applauding. And then all the lies that keep coming, the story keeps changing. And I have a very open mind with this. And I made no judgments for days. But then the story kept changing. One story was, you know, they had all these armaments, you know, and then they find, well, they only had one gun. And then the story was, well, you know, that last one was a gunfight with the kid in the boat. That's a Washington Post story. Anybody could Google it up. You could look it up. And then you see all these, you know, when they show the boat, you know, there's bullet holes all over the thing. The kid didn't have a gun. And then you remember he had a throat wound. Yeah, it was self-inflicted, they said. Hey, wait a minute. You know, if I were to blow my brains out, it wouldn't be in the throat.
Yeah, I'm not going to shoot myself in the neck, no.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, it's one thing after another. And now, of course, they were going to bomb Times Square. And who says so? The authorities. And then the other thing I'm wondering about, you know, there's surveillance everywhere. How come we're not seeing any surveillance shots of the so-called chase? And then throwing bombs out of the windows as they're alleged to have in this car chase, you know. So to me, the whole thing is it is too many holes in it, too many lies in it. And but what upsets me the most is our loss of rights. And then the other issue that gets me as well is that what if there was something really big and it wasn't a pressure cooker incident? You know, it was a tragedy, no doubt. You know, it wounded all these people and killed several. But what if it was a big one? What if it was a dirty bomb? What if it was a suitcase-sized nuke or a biological warfare? They closed down 100 square miles in the Boston area over a 19-year-old kid. We go on lockdown in the United States. And again, this isn't a conspiracy theory. I mean, it's something that's really happened, and it seems like it's continuing to go on. That look, just a couple of days ago, John D., they had in Tinley Park in Illinois, the U.S. Department of Defense conducted urban warfare training drills. You know, I've been around this country a long time. This never happened before. And they've recently had them in Miami and Florida, in Houston, Texas. And what's going on over here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable. Will sent an email. It's very interesting. He writes, it's from Lyle Meyer. When they took the Fourth Amendment, I was quiet because I didn't deal drugs. When they took the Sixth Amendment, I was quiet because I'm innocent. When they took the Second Amendment, I was quiet because I didn't own a gun. Now they've taken the First Amendment. And I could only be quiet. And I would submit to you that this, and I don't think I'm doing myself any favors with this, but you know, sometimes you just reach that point where you got to say, what the hell? This news media in this country is completely irresponsible with few exceptions. And the proof that they are government puppets is that they all waffle on the same issues. Go from network to network. One's more conservative in their approach. One's more strident and on the left in their approach. But it's the same rubbish until the stories are so convoluted and there's so much conflict between stories that people just give up. And I'm sick of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the other issue is when we don't have a discerning press, then we have... Then we go into the kind of nation that we've become. I mean, look, they sold a too big to fail package to the people in this country. There were people, I remember I was writing about it when it was happening. It was people were against it 500-1 that they were writing their congressmen and senators. And they shove it down our throat, and the press promotes it. Look what a wonderful job they did leading us to war in Iraq. You remember the New York Times? The paper of record, I call them the toilet paper of record. You know, you remember with those yellow cakes and those uranium tubes and on and on and on. And they keep doing it. I mean, I was watching that Mouse Blitzer on CNN, and he said, now, you know, the governor has said for people to shelter in place, to stay in your homes, that's the safest place for you to be. They don't tell me what the safest place for me to be is. Who are you, you little weasel? I mean, we got these guys shooting their mouths off. And this is what's happened in the nation. And it's one thing, again, this is to me the important thing that's going on, in that after every one of these incidents, these one-offs, we lose our rights. A kid, you know, this Adam Lanza, the ones before him, and Columbine and Aurora, and of course no one is talking about, was this kid on psychotropic drugs like the other ones? I mean, everybody sees these ads on TV after they give you, you know, 16 seconds of how this drug is going to change your life. Then they have a minute of how it's going to kill you. And oh, by the way, you'll get suicidal tendencies besides. So why do we keep losing our rights after each one of these incidents? And here's when it really began. I wrote about this in my book, Trends 2000, in 1996. Terrorism Bill hurts rights. They're talking, this followed the Oklahoma City bombing. This is an editorial from USA Today, hardly a bastion of liberal print. And here's what they wrote. The bill expands executive powers to the expense of both citizens and aliens. The president alone could designate groups, quote, detrimental to the interests of the United States. And it goes on to say, as we learned with Central America during the Reagan administration, one man's terrorist may be another man's freedom fighter. Not surprisingly, the bill's godfather, the FBI, would also reap new power. That means your phones could be tapped if the FBI thought any suspect might use it. So much for Fourth Amendment protection. Editorial, USA Today, 4/10/95. And now look how commonplace it's become. Warrantless wiretapping is the name of the game today. And we keep losing our rights. And what happened in Boston with these guys with enough body armor on them and enough weaponry to lead the charge of the Battle of the Bulge, going through people's homes, women and elderly coming out with their hands up, with guns pointed at them, you know, that could blow them into 17,000 little pieces, and you could see them yelling, put your hands up, put your hands up. What's going on? This is not the America that I believe in, I was taught about. Our founding fathers would be turning in their graves, and we have a bunch of politicians that are now raping the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in front of us, and not a peep from the prostitutes.
You know what? Talking about that Adam Lanza thing. Whatever happened to the guy in the front seat of the police car that looked at the camera and said, I didn't do it, that the cops chased through the woods and got him down the ground, got him in the car. Not another word about him. Nothing. And he was dressed in half camo, half black, all that. The news helicopter was like streaming video while this chase is happening. Not another word. It's, I don't know. I think we're looking at some real chaos. Now, we have some opportunities next year to do some things as far as elections are concerned, but it's going to be a long road to next year. I have a feeling this year is going to be, I think we've got some more chaos. Now, look, I'm not trying to just stir stuff up just for the heck of it. We can talk about, we can talk about anything. But this really is becoming undeniably serious. Every day that passes, there's either something that's enacted that's designed to make us just walk like little robots and just do what we're told, you know, let it be searched, be scanned, be detained, be subjected to rendition. That'll be next. You know, drone this, drone that. We just did a thing, I don't know, a week ago, about these drones that they mimic everything from dragonflies to mosquitoes. They can inject you. They can suck DNA out of you. They can kill you. They can be programmed to do anything. And it's, of course, the end of the article was that the human spirit will find a way to get around all this. It's like, yeah, but I was kind of thinking we might spend our lives doing something else, like being productive rather than trying to defend ourselves from our own government that we supposedly elected. Notice how the electronic voting was, oh, absolutely have to do it. No more paper ballots. All got to be electronic. And not another word about Soros's friend in Spain that was supposed to be doing all the vote counting. No outrage over the servicemen not be overseas, not being able to get their ballots because of the plane crash, and they burned up, got there 2 days late. Not a word out of the East Coast about any difficulties anybody experienced in the tropical storm Sandy Wake or any of that. It's just, I don't know, man. Sometimes I think that we're just going to have to face the fire. I just wonder if there's really any stopping it. I don't want to get all depressed about it. You know, whatever. I mean, I roll with life, whatever it presents to me. But, I mean, is this really necessary?
I don't believe it's necessary. None of it's necessary. Again, why are we losing rights when a couple of people go berserk? And then there's the other issue that has not been discussed at all. Let us suppose that these are, quote, Islamic fundamentalist radical crazies, you know. Let's suppose they came someplace else. Suppose they came from Afghanistan or Iraq or Libya. Suppose their families were blown away and their homes were destroyed and their lives were ruined. It's the golden rule. Do unto others. You know, so let's not get too tight about it. You want to go bomb other people, you know, guess what? They're going to want to bomb you back.
Oh, yeah.
No, they hate our freedom and liberty, I tell you. Has nothing to do with what? Spending $1 trillion in Iraq, killing an estimated, you know, several hundred thousand people for weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda that didn't exist. And when you listen to these guys like, you know, Karl Rove, you know, the political porky pig redo, he goes, well, the world is better off without Saddam Hussein. Wait a minute. That's not the story here. No, they're better off. Oh, yeah. How many did they kill? I think it was, I know the numbers, actually, because I read them the day after April 20th. On April 19th, the same day as the Boston tragedy, 55 people were killed in Iraq in bomb explosions. It's going on every day. You think there are a lot of people around the world in countries that America's gone into and destroyed that want to get even? And again, it all goes back to the founding fathers. All of this is so simple. No foreign entanglements. And only George Washington said that. Why pay any attention to him?
Yeah, yeah, who wants to listen to an old white guy, right?
Chief.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's unbelievable. Well, you know, I've mentioned that on the program before. You know what, you don't care because they're Afghanis, you don't care if they're Iraqis, you don't care if they're Rwandans, you only care if they're American children. You know, some idiot moron that decides to go crazy. You know, you're talking about those medications. Like, if you have suicidal tendencies, they make it worse if you use this medication. But you'll have beautiful fingernails. I mean, I challenge anybody to make up anything more stupid. Why would the FDA approve such a thing to start with, only to have the lawyers put on a commercial that says you may be entitled to money damages if you actually took any of these drugs? It's insane.
And then take it one step further. How come the prostitutes never talk about the psychotropic drugs when any of these tragedies happen? Well, it's very simple. Turn on MSNBC, ABC, CBS, CNBC, the Cartoon News Network, and every newscast is filled with drug commercials. Oh, and by the way, you know when they started allowing drug commercials on TV? Hey, no booze commercials. None of those.
No.
But we're going to have some drug commercials. That was under that wonderful, wonderful liberal Bill Clinton. Yeah, the guy that sold the country out in NAFTA. That guy. You remember the jobs that were going to – we didn't want those dirty manufacturing jobs. We don't need to make shirts or shoes. We don't have to make anything in this country. You don't ever have to get your fingers dirty again. We're going to have a service sector society. Our quality of life will increase. And we'll live happily ever after. Yeah, that Bill Clinton. We're now, by the way, since the Great Recession began, the jobs that were lost during that, and these are facts, I'm not making this stuff up, they were all mostly middle wage paying jobs. The ones that have been created since, low-paying wages.
Well, let's do a little news in a couple of spots and get right back into it, shall we, Gerald? It's good to have you on the program tonight. Thanks very much for coming on the bridge of the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return.